Well, Jesus loves Thursdays. Amen. He loves this group. Thank you for being here. I was going to sleep in this morning. I did a little bit. But then I decided I really needed to just be with Jesus. Get a word from him. Because we live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. And I've discovered over the years that when life gets tedious, I need a word, you know? The scriptures that Father Brett read sort of fascinated me this morning because Jesus said in verse 4, after saying, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, and so that where I am, there you be also. We've talked about that so much. That's about places in Jesus, our abiding places, our union with him. And Jesus said, you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how do we know the way? Well, Jesus, the way that Jesus, he was going to prepare a place for them in him. And the way that he was going was the way of the cross. And see, Jesus said to them, interesting, he says, and you know the way where I'm going. Like he assumed, or he was at least saying to them, I'm assuming, having been with me this time, all this time, that you would know the way. But they said to him, Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Let me read the scripture to you. This is Mark 14. It says, now the Passover and unleavened bread was 2 days off, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, a pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and wherever you wish, whenever you wish, you can do them good, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. We've talked about this before, and this is the third time, of course, Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, anointed Jesus with this very costly spikenard oil. The first two times she anointed his feet. This third time, she anointed his head. And this is the only account where Jesus says, she's done this to prepare my body for the burial. Now, the way that Jesus was going to prepare a place for them was the way of the cross. He was going to give his life, and in giving his life, crucify our old life so that he could raise up in him a whole new life, a whole new humanity. But they didn't seem to know the way. They said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, much less know the way that you're going. And the interesting thing to me is that of all the disciples, again, we've spoken of this many times, of all the disciples that abandoned Jesus at the cross, they all did. There was one who came back, and if you remember, that was John. There were like three ladies or four ladies, and then there was John. And John, I believe, came back because he's the one who, having rested his head on the breast of Jesus during this upper room time, the night before his crucifixion, John had had some kind of breakthrough encounter with the love of Christ. He didn't just hear the heartbeat physically of Jesus with his head on the breast of Christ. He heard the heartbeat of God in Christ. I think he had an encounter with the love of God that he had not had before. And from that point forward, as we've said, from that moment, and in four different times, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus is always loving. And I think that was significant because he had had an encounter with the love of God as it's revealed in the person of Christ. At some point, having fled out of fear, he stopped, I believe, and thought, of course, he isn't suffering death at the cross. He's accomplishing death at the cross. This is how far God's love would go for us and for me. He experienced that, though he maybe couldn't put two and two together until running, he stopped and went back. And then Mary of Bethany, when they're all rebuking her for this third time of wasting this very costly spikenard oil, Jesus said, she's preparing my body for the burial. Like, they didn't get it. Even John at that point, because that's before the crucifixion, just before, none of them got it, but Mary of Bethany got it, that this is how far God's love would go. Jesus had made clear, you have to understand that if you want to know what God's like, then you look at Christ. He came to reveal him. He's the exact representation of his nature. That's why I love what it says in Romans chapter 8, that we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. And then he goes on and says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so we discover the truth about God's love for us in the person of Jesus. It's when you read the Gospels and you see all the things that Jesus did, the people he stopped for, he laid his life down again and again to heal the fallen and the broken. The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, over and over again, all those stories. Jesus was not just healing people, but he was telling the truth about the Father. He was revealing the love of God. That was a stunning thing for a Jew to see, because they always saw God as one who was distant and holy. But by becoming human, God is saying, I can't want to be with you, God Emmanuel, more than this I'm now showing. I become human. That's how near we're to be, and how much I desire to be with you, how much I love you. And so I believe that even though these disciples didn't know the way he was going, Mary did. Because when she first encountered Christ, if you remember, in her encountering him as a prostitute, she fell at his feet, anointed his feet with her tears and the oil, wiped it with her hair, without any concern about what anybody thought about her, without any fear of rejection from the Pharisees whose home she was in. And Jesus said, she's loved much because she's forgiven much. She understood the love of God in Christ. She met the love of God in Christ, and it transformed her. And because she had that encounter with the love of God, she knew the way he was going. She prepared his body for burial. She knew that's how far God would go for our nearness, to restore us, to reconcile us to him. And then John, of course, again, laying his head on the breast of Jesus. He got it, but as he was running, it got him, and he went back. Because, of course, that's what Jesus would do. Now, here's the interesting thing to me. That's why I had Brett read verse 15. I read it this morning. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, one of the ways you can read that is that keeping his commandments is an expression of love for him. And that's really true. But I love the way the Passion Translation says this. The Passion Translation is just a paraphrase, not really a translation. But in this paraphrase, it says, loving me empowers you to keep my commandments. And that's true. Now, in a way, that's saying the same thing, but it just means a lot to me when I think of it that way. If you love me, it will empower you to keep my commandments. Let me put my glasses back on. I'll read something to you that I wrote down. To truly see the God that's revealed in Christ is to desire nothing else. And so what happens is that not only when you encounter his love and as you grow in your discovery of the love of God as it's revealed in Christ, do you understand more and more his ways. And his ways is primarily the way of sacrificial love for every human being. And you just discover his ways about just the way he does. When discovering his love for you changes you, and you begin to understand his ways, and you begin to walk in this way of life that Jesus lives. And so you don't walk in offense and all those other things that you do. When you're sitting in a room with people and someone says something critical about someone, you find yourself thinking, and then normally I've actually lovingly at some point interrupting and going, that's just an expression of their brokenness. We just need to love them more. That's one of the ways of Christ. There's such glorious freedom in that. But not only that, do you understand his ways when you have a real encounter with the love of God in Christ, not only do you understand his ways in a growing sense, but you also find yourself wanting, being empowered by that love to surrender to him. It becomes the great desire of your life to love him back by keeping his commandments, by being surrendered to him. You know, it says in Philippians 2, we've looked at this on Wednesday, where it says, for it is God who is at work in you, working in you every minute, to both desire and to do his good pleasure. One of the primary ways he works in us to desire, to surrender the desire he's doing in us, is by revealing again and again his love for us as it's revealed in Christ. It makes you want to say yes to what he's working in you. It's at the heart of a surrendered life. That's why a person can get all the revelation about Jesus Christ living his life through you and being in Christ and all that kind of stuff. But if you aren't encountering simultaneously his massive love, the love of God revealed in Christ, then you won't be able to take the first step in actually walking that out, which is surrender. It empowers you. Because when you understand how much he loves you, we love because what? He first loves us. As we love him back, that love empowers us to just want to say yes to the life he wants to live in us and through us. Instead of we having our will, we become more and more one with his will. Amen? It's the most astounding life, this Christian life. It's so much bigger than most Christians understand. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.